Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Community and Campus Radio from Simon Fraser University. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Robin.
And we just had an interview with Gavin Summers on the new Future is Queer Youth Programme that will be on September 19th and September 20th. And now we're going to have just a little chat about some of the topics that were discussed in the interview about why these programs are so important in community, especially in BC with what's been going on in the past year. I don't know if you want to start it off or...
Either way, yeah. I think. One of the ways that we sometimes approach this show is that there's a bit of an umbrella topic, which was, queer education, yeah, and this idea of SOGI. Mm. So Rebecca and I were going to bring news items that, may be kind of related to what it is that we were talking about. And one of the things that I stumbled across was something from the Rainbow Railroad, which is an organization that works internationally to help people, LGBTQI plus people, who are experiencing state-sanctioned homophobia and transphobia escape their situations and become gender refugees, I guess, for lack of a better language or better term. The reality right now is that there's 120 million forcibly displaced people worldwide right now, which is the largest of any time in history. And the LGBTQI plus community are particularly vulnerable because in over 60 countries around the world, queer and trans people face persecution and violence simply because of who they are and or who they love. And so the Rainbow Railroad did a study, and they drew up a report on data from 15,352 help requests that span 100 countries that represent LGBTQI individuals fleeing violence. And, some of those folks are going to be adults. Some of them are going to be youth. Some of them might be parents of youth who are coming to, other countries to attend school. And that there's been a 60% increase in 2023 compared to 2022 for the help of the Rainbow Railroad. Canada is one of the sort of prime countries on the list of places to go, because we're even though we have some difficulties in terms of making sure that, everybody has an equitable chance, we are certainly not as the risk of people's lives is not as much or as critical in other places. And so You know, we've seen the demand go up here. In huge ways. In Edmonton, for example, it's seen its membership at the Rainbow Refugee Center triple.
Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah. In the last few years, as gay newcomers seek legal services, counseling, and housing after arriving there. And, you know, Vancouver is sort of a hotter destination place, especially for people who are coming from places where, you know, the weather is warmer and, you know, the climate is a little bit more moderate. They don't want to go to Edmonton.
Yeah.
I can't blame them.
Yeah.
And so I can only imagine, and I don't have the statistics for, you know, the Rainbow Resource Centers here and how they're helping settlers and what those numbers are. But, you know, we're looking at an increased demand because of these policies that exist in other places. And, you know, one of the things that that they talk about in the Canadian context is that, you know, even though it's problematic and people are saying terrible things about SOGI, the fact that it is something that is, you know, kind of on the books here and that we do strive to achieve, even though there is a lot of backlash about it, is one of the reasons why people feel that Canada is a little bit more of a safe haven, because technically we are sort of beholden to it through the legal process. However, we know that this is not as easy as it reads. I guess. And you know, that people are still saying some head shaking things.
Absolutely, like crazy statements that they're sort of like, you wouldn't even have dreamt that that would have ever been said, or like a comparison. So it's shocking. And as well, like with this Rainbow Railroad, I think it's so important. It's putting in that intersectional perspective that sometimes gets lost when looking at issues surrounding the Two-Spirit LGBTQIA plus community. And with this Futurist Queer program that's coming out, they speak so much on the importance of the intersectional perspective, that it's not just them, that it's people with disabilities, people from different ethnicities. It's about it all, and it's about an acceptance of it all and understanding and learning, rather than just like focusing on one part of it. And with the Rainbow Railroad focusing on obviously other countries that are not as westernized as the US and Canada, and the UK are still struggling so much with legislation to protect themselves. And even if they have any legislation, the enforcement of it isn't there. They're still experiencing the violence, the isolation, the lack of rights just in their lives. And even though we have it slightly better in the Western side, it's still almost a huge battle with people still going up against it. I read that last year, the BC Conservative leader compared the SOGI legislation and resource package for schools to the taking away of the parental right on the decision of what their child is educated to what happened with the residential schools in BC. And that comparison, I think, is it's so wrong. in so many ways. Like, that to even, I just think, like, how did your PR person allow you to say that they, he wrote it on the social media platform X, formerly Twitter. And I just think, how were you allowed to put that out into, like, the online space when those residential schools are still such a catastrophic event in British Columbian history that is still so prominent now with the effects of it, with the horrific deaths and the loss of thousands of Indigenous children and the impact it has on just so many generations after now. And the fact that he can compare them together when Soji's aim is to bring about more inclusivity and more learning and to create that safer space in education for young people, when residential schools did like the direct opposite of that. It was taking away kids from their families. It was taking away their culture. It was taking away everything that made sort of them, them, to like almost annihilate the Indigenous culture and just exclude it. And the detrimental aftermath is still felt today as well. And I wrote down a quote that I read from what Rustad saw the Soji policy. He saw it as a distraction and a divisive approach and promised that he would end it with putting in place a zero tolerance anti-bullying approach. And I thought that those Soji resources are an anti-bullying approach.
They are
a resource to educate and help kids understand everyone and have a safe space to prevent, like, it's a lifeline for the, like, Two-Spirit LGBTQIA plus community to be able to feel heard and seen and respected. And he says it's a distraction and wants to put in an anti-bullying approach. And I would be so curious as to what that anti-bullying approach includes that would be inclusive, like how the Soji package is, that like how inclusive it is compared to that.
Well, I think part of the issue is that as soon as you talk about sex and sexuality, right, the doors just slam shut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's this reality that we live with, that if we talk about it somehow, then everybody's just going to be out doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's almost like you talk about it, that it's like, I've had this term so much, it's going to brainwash them into being a part of the community.
Right.
Just for talking about it.
And I think that, you know, we really need to get out from underneath this this sort of puritanical notion that we can't talk about sex and sexuality and we can't educate our kids about it for fear that they're going to be influenced unduly by something that we say, you know?
Yeah.
And that, you know, yes, I think, you know, Soji is a lot about, you know, inclusivity and keeping, you know, kids safe and educating them about. I loved the term that Gavin used, gender expansiveness.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a great term.
And kids are gender expansive to begin with. Like, we all played dress up. We all became characters and different archetypes and tried on identities. And kids do that.
Yeah.
You know? And heck, some adults do that too. But we have to get beyond this idea that, you know, as soon as we're educating people for their sort of safety, you know, like education and information makes people safe.
Mm.
You know, if it's the right information.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's part of where the difficulty is, you know, that there's folks who definitely believe that the right path is to, you know, be open and honest and include all of the possibilities of the rainbow that are out there. And then there are people who want to keep their horse visors on and not look outside of the box. And God forbid that we color outside the box.
Yeah.
You know, and educate our kids into thinking that there is an outside the box. But my goodness, you know, I remember back in the day when sex education in my school was about frogs.
About frogs?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we saw this little 15-minute video about frogs becoming tadpoles, becoming frogs, and we were supposed to understand about human sexuality and, you know, how to keep ourselves safe in that. For the most part, it didn't make any sense to any of us, right? And this was a grade 7 sex educational video, right? And that was condoned by the school board as the right approach and the right information and all that we needed to know. You know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, girls in my class were getting pregnant in grade 8 because
you didn't know anything
about frogs and tadpoles, right?
Yeah. Like, it's like it's not a... It's not the same in any way. And as well, I think it comes back to, I remember like my sex ed classes, they were still, I don't know what they are now, but when we had sex ed, it was still very much like male and female. Like we were split in our classes. So it was like girls went into one room, guys went into another room, and you got shown different videos.
Mm.
One for the guys, one for the girls. When it's a process that you need to see both sides to it, but it's also... It's not just male and female. Like it's so much more than that. And
it's gender expansive.
Yeah, it's gender expansive, and it goes back to this concept that gender is not like a black and white. It's a social construct. It's a spectrum. It's not just like you're either this or you're either that. Like there's so much more to it, and the importance of like Soji in getting young people from a young age to understand that is how you're gonna get the change in the future. Like is how it's gonna change, because you can only change so much like from now. And the way that the backlash has felt against it, and you look at then like the rates of like anxiety, depression, suicide in members of young people in general, but also young people that are a part of that community, when it's just them experiencing gender dysphoria and not understanding who they are. And you're risking so much more detrimental effects to them by taking that away, because that is providing, like I saw a quote, it's like it is life-saving for them. It is their lifeline, and it is for them to be able to understand. Because a lot of people, when they're young, they don't understand themselves. Part of growing up is you get to understand who you are, and you get to find yourself. And the part of what helps that is being in school, being with your friends, being with your teachers, learning, like being taught things. And if you take out, like for the people that don't necessarily, they listen and it's like, this isn't adding up to me. You take away what is like the one thing that they can understand as, this is me, this is where I fit in. You're just going to have someone that feels so lost, so isolated, so alone. And you're just going to add to the rising mental health rates that we already see in young people today as well. That I think it's such a, it's such an annoying, it's such a frustrating thing when you see it in the news, like the backlash against it, and that the fact that there's so much support for the backlash as well, to be like, yeah, like I know it's a lot of it is about parents wanting the right to know what their kid learns, which parents do have a right to know what their kids learn, but it's also, you got to understand that you have got to have your child to be open-minded to all possibilities to learn about the world around them. Otherwise, they're just going to become an adult and get plopped in it, and they're not going to know.
My parents didn't get to choose the books that I was being taught at school, which were filled with a bunch of, you know, misogyny and various things that didn't do me any good in terms of my worldview and my world perspective. Nobody was talking about that.
Yeah, you end up with generations of just close-minded people. And that's where you get the inequalities that we're trying so hard to fight against in all areas.
In all areas.
In all areas. Like, it's the exact same for the Soji. Like, that is the exact same as, like, teaching women to stand up for themselves and to break through the glass ceiling and to not just, like, allow men to push down on them. It's the exact same of us being taught to be inclusive of everyone from any racial background. It's the same as us being taught to, like, you have to be respectful and nice to your elders. It's the exact same. But you don't see the backlash on them, on those ones, only on this one, because it's like, I think it's probably because it's the newest, maybe, like the most recent, and because it involves a lot of talk about sex and sexuality, that it makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Ooh, because it's not talked about. Mm. Yeah, it just, you end up, it's like everyone's like, it's too uncomfortable for me to talk, like, to say the word sex. No, we can't have this conversation. I've got to put it in a box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. And especially for, you know, if there's cultural or religious affiliations in families where, you know, these things are certainly not talked about.
Yeah.
Then it becomes even more of a critical mass.
Mm.
So, yeah, very important conversation for sure.
Yeah, and it's also with the queer, the Future is Queer, I keep getting it wrong, the Future is Queer program, is that they are inviting parents into the conversation. And Gavin
critical.
Spoke,
yeah, critical.
Gavin spoke that on that quite a bit, I think towards the end of the interview, where he was like, well, they were like, sorry, that's my bad. They were like, we want to educate and to show people it all. And it's not just for young people. We want them to bring their parents in. We want them to bring their friends in. Because it's about getting everybody to learn. It's about getting everybody to understand. And it's a journey for the young person that they're going on. And your family is going to be a part of that journey. And if they don't understand it, that's going to make it a very distressing and hard journey for them. So it's like, this is like, they provide like discussion groups, they provide age-appropriate queer movies to help understand. They use so many different resources to help both like young people understand who they are, but also help the people around them understand who they are and to help make their journey as best as it can be, as well as supportive as it can be.
And I think that's the important thing to really understand and appreciate about Soji education in general, right? Is that it is age appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about introducing concepts to kids and youth that aren't ready for understanding and appreciating what those concepts mean.
Yeah.
You know, they're not being introduced to things that are outside of the realm of what they already know and what they can understand. And it's a graduation where, you know, over 12 years or 13 years, if you include kindergarten, you know, it's a cumulative education that all of a sudden you're like, aha, I'm enlightened, you know, by the end of grade 12 or whatever. Yeah. But you know, you're not being dumped all of this information, you know, the first day of kindergarten, you're 5 years old and your poor little mind is exploding.
Yeah. No, exactly.
So
I do think we are running out of time, even though this is a very interesting discussion that definitely should be had more.
Yes.
Everywhere. But thank you, everyone, for tuning into Intravenous. I am Rebecca.
Yeah, and I am Robin.
And we
have... I just want to put a shout out for next week. We'll be talking with someone from the SVSPO, the Sexual Violence and...
I don't know.
Prevention office. I lost a word in there somewhere. But they're going to be here talking about consent and the Consent Matters campaign that happens every September. So tune in for that. It'll be another very important discussion.
Very, very important discussion. So we shall see you all here next week.